Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Hey guys, here we are, 1974. We're starting a church, and we're at the very Quonset hut where it all started. We started here with 10 teenagers. This is where Monterey intersects into Nile Street. I'll never forget. I mean, the first Sunday I was late for service, we were getting chairs. We had bar stools, patio chairs. 10 teenagers and me, wet behind the ears. All we knew is that we had just discovered God. I'd got saved 2 or 3 years earlier, and I was excited about Bible prophecy. I was excited about deliverances. I actually learned that I could deliver people from demonic spirits. It was a crazy world. Now, Bakersfield then was probably, I don't know, I haven't looked at statistics, but probably around 100,000 in population. It wasn't very big. And so we started right here on Sunday morning in front of this Quonset hut. I get chill bumps. If I didn't have my jacket on, you could see them. I'd stand out here and shake hands with these 10 or 12 teenagers who grew to be 20 teenagers. And then 25, and then 30. Soon people were standing around the entrance trying to get in because we knew God. Now, mind you, in those days, I had never heard of anybody pioneering a church. Today, a lot of people do it. I thought you had to go to seminary. This was unheard of. But God gave me a vision a few weeks earlier and showed me this building and showed me hanging a sign out here. And he said to me, the only vision I've ever had in my life, he said, go and start a church for me in Bakersfield. And we did it 40-some years ago. We're still here, grown into a mega church, one of the fastest growing churches in America a few years back, and all because God was faithful to his word. Again, if you can imagine a Sunday morning here, the cars come in, they park here, mostly all teenagers, if not all teenagers. My mother and father thought I was crazy. My family thought I was crazy. And yet today, with pride, I say that my sister and older brother both are members of our church. But my dad said, you had a good job with a supermarket. Why'd you give it up to do this? And I wasn't full-time at first. I was still working and doing this. Full-time came later. But anyway, here we are, Quonset Hut. We knew 3 songs, wrote them out on cardboard. I led worship. We had a nursery, a little room in the back of this Quonset Hut that would hold probably 4 children, and we had a curtain separating the nursery from the auditorium. Again, some people were sitting down real low on patio stools or patio benches. Others were sitting up high on bar stools. Some were in recliners. Whatever we could get, we took. And so this is where the vision started. And I am so excited to go back and have these memories again. Good morning. Happy Easter. Welcome to Roots. We're taking you back. The best in the service is yet to come, believe me. But I'm going to take you in the Quonset Hut this morning and show you our roots. This is exactly what we did in the Quonset Hut. Want to join me for about a 3-minute summary of a service in the Quonset Hut? Good morning, guys. Good morning. Another great day in Bakersfield. Yes. What's been happening? Any good stuff happened to you at all this week?
Well, Pastor, can I share this story? I was at the supermarket. I was able to pray with the lady and pay for her groceries, and she is actually in attendance today.
She's here.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else? Anything happened this week?
Pastor has something as well. I visited the library the other day, and I witnessed to a girl, and I invited her to the church today, and she got saved.
Today. Yes, yes.
One more.
Hey, well, I won't shut you up. Just keep going.
So also, my sister hasn't attended church in years, heard what we're doing here, and she's coming down next week.
Next week. Well, you know what? It's been a crazy week. You'll hear one of my God stories in my sermon in a moment. But it's time for worship. Can you guess what songs we're going to sing today? We only have three. And you know what? This is my favorite. And so we're going to start off our worship this morning. Let's pray. Father God, anoint our worship, anoint our time. We know you're here. Do wonders in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen?
Amen.
Are you ready? Our first song is my favorite. 1, 2, 3. When I get to heaven, gonna walk with Jesus. When I get to heaven, gonna see his face. When I get to heaven, gonna talk with Jesus. Saved by his wonderful grace, because I'm saved, saved, wonderfully saved. Washed in the blood of the Lamb, saved, saved, wonderfully saved. And I'm so glad I am, hallelujah. Praise God. That's the motions. Mighty, mighty, mighty is the Lord our God. Mighty, mighty, mighty is the Lord our God. Mighty, mighty, mighty is the Lord our God. Praise God. It's time for our sermon today. And at this point, I might have preached for 45 minutes. I don't know. This little group of 10 or 12 teenagers started growing until pretty soon we had standing room only. They were standing around the doors. Why? Because Jesus was alive. Well, I'm going to preach my sermon. I preached it. Amen. I'm leaving. God bless you guys. Love you. Love you. See you next week. See you next week. You know, we didn't know a lot then, but we knew five things. And those five things we still know to be true today. And I'm going to talk to you about those five things real quickly. The first thing we knew back then, and we still know today, and that is God is real. That was news to me. I lived in a quote-unquote Christian home, but I never knew God was real. I never heard God speak to the people around me. I never saw any miracles, signs, or wonders, nothing. So it was an astonishing discovery to know God is really real. He's the God of the Bible. And so daily, we start walking with God. And just as you saw in that little demonstration, every week we had God stories. I told you before, to know normal, you have to see normal. And I don't know how you guys live. You live with me and Debbie, and we'll be driving down the road, and we have a problem, we'll pray over it, and I'll talk to her, we'll pray over it. You go into our house, you got praise music playing. It's absolutely nuts. We start taking God into the marketplace. We start sharing him at work with our coworkers. I used to take the kids out, the 10 teenagers, and we would go to the neighborhoods around the church, and we'd give out tracts and Bibles and tell people about Jesus. We were drunk with our first love for Christ. I remember one day we went out and we handed out tracts and Bibles, and we had one Bible and one tract left. I'll never forget, I called all the teenagers over. There's about eight of us that went out that day. I said, gang, we have one more tract and one more Bible left. We got to really make this one count. And so let's pray. And we got a little group in the middle of the street and we prayed and said, God, show us where this next one goes. Show us. And all of a sudden, we said amen, and one of the kids said, I kind of thought of that White House over in the corner over there. I said, that's the one I was thinking of. So that's what I was thinking of. That's where we have to go. Never forget that day. I knocked on the door. A guy answered the door, and, well, I say, hey, we're some Christians out here today, and we're telling people about the Lord. He said, you want to tell me about the Lord? I said, yeah, we do. He said, well, I don't know about that. I said, well, can we come in for a few minutes? Well, come on in. Well, what do you want to tell me? I said, Jesus died for your sins, and he wants to save you and give you a new life. He said, oh, is that right? Yeah. I said, would you just pray a prayer with me? I saw it wasn't going really good. I said, well, just, well, I'll pray with you, sure. He's laughing. I said, say, dear God. He said, dear God, if you're real, show yourself to me right now. Show yourself to me right now. And it was silent. I looked over, and he was, I said, what's the matter? He said, I don't know. I said, you need to give your life to God, don't you? Yeah, I think I do. I led him to the Lord. Within 5 minutes, two of his relatives come. I led them to the Lord. Three neighbors came. I led them to the Lord. We led them all to the Lord. We had about 9 in the house that day. It was crazy. See, nothing's changed. We're still living that same life 47 years ago. I probably invited, I don't know how many people to Easter. I invite them in the gym, wherever I'm at. I was at Walmart the other day. Saw a Hell's Angel guy, and he looked like the meanest guy I've ever seen in my life. And the Holy Spirit said, go tell him I love him and want him at church. I go, oh, God, come on. You know I always do this, but that guy's a killer. Oh, and you know me. I said, God, you know I'll do anything you tell me to do. And I went over to him, and he was just staring at me. And I said, hey, I'm supposed to tell you that God wants you in his house on Sunday. And I said, I don't know why, but the Holy Spirit told me to tell you that. Would you come to church? He looks at me, stares at me. You're on Vietti, aren't you? I said, yeah, I might be there. But see, our love for God has not changed. And it just got crazier and crazier. All of a sudden, we discovered that angels were real, that demons were real. They could even get into bodies, and we did deliverances. It got absolutely nuts. We started doing Bible prophecy, going, woo! We said, man, whenever we see Russia come down to the Middle East, we know it's the end. That happened a few years ago, and we got so excited, and we're still excited. Every week you come to church, we learn something new. What have we learned in the book of 1 John over the past 2 months? Oh my gosh, just that one thing that we highlighted. We were doing a Bible study, and it says, God is greater than your heart. And I showed that your heart are your emotions. And I told the people, do you get this? When you live by your emotions, you will do stupid things that you would not normally do, and you'll get stupid things you would not normally get. And I said, but it says God's greater than your emotions. And so when you experience fear and jealousy and anger and lust, if you would spend time at the altar, God is stronger than that stuff. And he'll overpower it, and you won't keep making the same stupid mistakes. Unbelievable. Number two, what did we know then that we still know now? We knew we would live forever. Now today, we celebrate the most fantastic, awesome, wonderful event that's ever happened in the history of the world. Jesus Christ defeated the power of death. The thing that we fear the most has been defeated. Look what Jesus said in John. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, how many believes in him today? He who believes in me will what? He'll live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never, ever, 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 ever die. Do you believe this? Wow. I mean, that's crazy. See, there are people here today who have walked in this auditorium. Some of you have 2, 5, 10, 15 years to live at the max. And if you keep living the way you're living, you're going to be dead sooner. And you know what? Show is over for you. It's over. It's over. The free gift of eternal life is given to those who have given their lives to God. It's a bonus. It's what he gives to his kids. That's absolutely nuts. I mean, we will live forever and ever and ever. But you people that are here and you've never accepted the Lord, think about it. If you stretch a tape measure here to New York to symbolize eternity, this life's a 16th inch out of that. And you're going to surrender that up for what? For what? But good news, some of you that walked in here without eternal life, you're going to leave like 50 or 60 did in the first service. You're going to leave with eternal life. It's going to happen because the Holy Spirit's not through moving yet. I mean, can you even wrap your mind around eternal life? Instead of living your 60, 70 years and then be away from God forever and ever, you're going to live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and then forever and ever and then forever, ever, 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 ever. Hard to wrap your mind around, isn't it? Someone said a couple weeks ago, said, you know why I don't go to VBF on Easter? Because it's all for non-believers. Yeah, you bet it is. And why are you so cotton pick? And I shouldn't have said that word, forgive me. But why are you so selfish? Everything's about you? I wonder what's more, I'm taught. Well, hey, you're taught all the other Sundays. Don't you understand that God has told us to make disciples out of mankind? You can't make disciples till you get them saved. And on Sundays, our greatest day for getting people saved. So let's talk to them. Lay our self-centered thoughts aside. It's not always about us. Why did you come to church? Well, I'm a believer. You came for one reason only, to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And that hasn't even started yet. You see, the Jews, they get stone drunk in the streets when they celebrate their holidays. Well, we don't want you to do that. But get drunk in the Holy Spirit. The third thing we knew then, and we still know now, we knew what it was to be born again. Most Americans have no clue what it means to be born again. There are people in this building today, and there's people listening to me on the internet, at other campuses. They have never had a single prayer ever answered in their life, not even once. They have never, ever heard God speak. They never, ever have felt the touch of the Lord in their life. And when they die, the show is over. Now see, that blows me away. I can't even imagine living a day without God. Sometimes we take it for granted. I've been living with him for 47 years, and I can't even, it gives me chill bumps. It makes me feel with fear to think of living one day without God. See, what I have that non-believers don't have, and I want you to have it. If my child or grandchild's in the hospital dying, I've got a connection with God. I have hope. I had somebody very close to me call me a while back, said, I think I have cancer. I don't know what to do. I said, sweetheart, listen. Don't listen to statistics, because people like us aren't in statistics. We know God, sweetheart. We can pray through this. We can find God. I've survived 3 cancers and I should be dead. Knowing God. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you Christians a question. Do you know how to pray? Prayer is a science. It's an art. You don't just, there's a lot to it. We can teach you how to pray. You're looking at a man today with 3 cancers. I would be dead if I didn't know how to pray. I knew what to pray at the right moment. I'd been trained by prayer. I knew what spirits to take authority over. I knew at the right time what to do. I had learned about prayer. So see, the blue ball of clay that I used to use, and you got to get this, every man is born into sin. That means you're separated from God. God couldn't fellowship with you if he wanted to, because you're a blue ball of clay. God's purple. When you come to a point in your life where you say, I want to be saved, you pray and the red ball of clay, which represents the Holy Spirit, comes down and joins the blue, and you're turned into a purple ball of clay. At that moment, you're put back into fellowship with God. Listen to me. Look at this verse right here. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? Can he? Can that happen? He said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, that means the water sack, you got to be born once, natural childbirth. You have to be born again of the Spirit. You have to be born twice, born again. But if you're not, you can't enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. Look at Isaiah 59 and 2. Isaiah 59 and 2. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear you. That you can be connected back up to God is the hilariously good news. To think that we, any of us that want to, can live connected to God. It's an insanely crazy idea, something you have to get used to. Number four, we also knew that we had found a lifestyle that was a lot better than what we had. We knew that. Look at John 4, 13, 14. Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water of the world here, they're going to thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water which I give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Gang, listen to me closely. Everything goes back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, which is a real story. For those of you that go to church here, you know this year they made a big discovery, I think it was Switzerland. They have now said that they have proof that every man and woman on the earth has come from one set of parents. Hello. We've known that for a long time. I mean, all kinds of discoveries. They discovered the city of AI this last month or two. They didn't think that existed. They discovered a seal with the name Nathan Millick on it. They didn't know what that meant until you go back to 2 Kings. Nathan Millick was one of David's assistants. And so all these discoveries are being made. But go back to Adam and Eve in the garden. They were body, soul, and spirit. The spirit connection in the Garden of Eden, it says they walked with God. Good morning, God. Good morning, Adam and Eve. How are you, God? I'm doing great. I got a problem. I'm not feeling well today. What should I do? Drink more water, Adam. You know, they had this thing going on. But when they sinned in the Garden of Eden, we're told the spirit was taken away. Now there's a vacant place in their heart. There's a hole. There's a vacuum. Today, every man and woman is born with a vacuum in their heart. And so what do? We start trying to stuff it with things. We know we're missing something, we just don't know what we're missing. We know we have an itch, but we don't know how to scratch it. So we try drugs, and we try to get that in that vacuum, and it doesn't work. We just want more drugs. We try alcohol, and that ruins our lives, and that doesn't work. We try pornography. We try having an affair. We try materialism. We try getting more money, and we start stuffing it all in. It doesn't work. Do you know what the scripture said? The scripture said, he that drinks of my water will never thirst again. I don't know about you, buddy, but you know what? There's not a thing in the world I want. I'm not thirsty for anything. I'm living proof. I got a great wife. I don't want another wife. She's the best in the world. She packed me two pieces of toast today in case I got hungry. This lady's awesome. She put me on a protein in case I want to take some more protein between services. She's awesome. I got the home I want. I got the salary I want. I've even got the best dog in the world. Don't get me going there because I've got, oh my gosh, my dog's smarter than any of your dogs. 120-pound German Shepherd, and that dude, he minds better than my kids.
What I'm saying is, the Bible says if you drink of this water, you want, there's not anything I want except the 1969 Corvette. If you want to give one away, I will gladly take it off your hands. I'm telling you, the lifestyle I have is unbelievable. And the last thing, because we got to get out of here, we knew what we had would never fade away. I mean, I'm the same person with the same life. Why do I tell all my same old God stories all the time? Because I can't believe they've actually happened. I just can't believe them. That's why I'm sorry. I keep telling them over and over again. See, what we got will never fade away. It'll go with us to our old age. And let me tell you something. You will get old. I was in you don't want to become gripey old people. I was in Lassa's last week, a grocery store. And I wasn't bothering anybody. I took my basket. I was talking on the phone. And an old man, woman came by. And they go, can't believe he's talking on his cell phone. And so I started laughing. I said, somebody's mad that I'm talking on my cell phone. She came back and flipped me off right in my face. I go, is that what some people turn into? I mean, I'm always going up to strangers, sharing my faith. I still do that. I still do it. Regularly, I tell Debbie, I just heard God. I just heard God. He just talked to me about something, Debbie. And this goes on regularly at our house. Regularly, I'll be in prayer and I'll stop and I'll go, who do you hate? God's telling me right now you hate somebody. Or I'll stop in the middle and say, you don't have marriage problems. You got a porn problem, don't you? Don't you? Everybody will start crying. What does the word Betty mean? I'm turning the rest of the service over to the Holy Spirit. He's already had it, but in a big way now. Some of you have hit a dead-end street, and you know it's time. Father God, release the Holy Spirit to begin to move in the next 15 minutes all over this building, all over this building. Right now, you're going to get a treat. This is called roots. Roots. I see roots. That's it's about our roots. Did you know Bakersfield was a country town? We had Cousin Herb. Remember Cousin Herb and the Trading Post? Billy Mize? We're going to do some spirituals right now, and you get in on these spirituals. The Holy Spirit's going to move, and I'll be right back out after two or three songs.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is our